Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the show dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today. Recently, Dr. Steve Parr had the opportunity to interview Randy Mullinax, who's the pastor at First Southern Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, and he used to work on staff here at the Georgia Baptist Convention. They were talking about making your top attended Sundays more evangelistic. Listen in as Steve talks to Randy.
Glad to have Randy Mullinax again with us this week from First Southern Baptist Church of Tucson, Arizona. Randy, welcome back.
Well, greetings from sunny Arizona, where temperatures right now are going to be about 115, but it's a dry heat.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, listen, we're glad you're here, and we've been talking about taking your top attended Sundays and making them more evangelistic. Randy, you've pastored in several states, I believe, along the way. I said several, maybe just a couple, but where are some of the states where you have served in your ministry since you've been called several years back?
Missouri, Illinois, and Arizona.
And, of course, here in Georgia, you were with our staff in the evangelism area. So
south,
west, north, you've been around a little bit. Well, looking back in your pastorates, what have you found to be some of the larger attended Sundays in your pastorates, just traditionally year in and year out?
Well, of course, Easter, Christmas, and really I should say Christmas season, and then Mother's Day are traditionally the larger attended services that we have.
Hey, let's just take one of those, and let's pretend you can do this. I'm going to assume we can do this with either one of them. Let's take Mother's Day.
Okay.
And, of course, Mother's Day falls in May. How far out would you begin to think about Mother's Day in terms of taking advantage of the evangelistic opportunity?
Well, it depends on our sermon scheduling, and we try and do that 2 or 3 months out. But that's also when we start gearing up evangelistically to be intentional. We have several things that we do to make sure that those special Sundays are more intentionally evangelistic and that we're able to take care of our guests, be prepared for them, and to follow up with them. So we probably take at least 2 months as we start looking at that, planning the services, praying about that, and it really gets the nitty-gritty that last month.
Well, let's assume you're speaking to a pastor, and suppose he doesn't have staff. He's from a smaller congregation, and it's February, and he's thinking towards May, just a couple months down the road. He wants to really make his Mother's Day take full advantage of the higher attendance and take full advantage of the evangelistic opportunity it presents. If you could give it in 2, 3, 4 bullet points, just some key things you'd want him to remember in getting ready for that Sunday, what would some of those be?
Okay. The first thing I do is I would encourage that pastor to begin praying early. Just let God begin giving him a vision of something fresh, something that will reach the people. God already knows everyone who's going to be in attendance. And so I'd be praying about that message. I'd be praying about how to lead the church to make that a special day. I'd be very enthusiastic about it. I would encourage, as it gets closer, I would incorporate prayer with the lay people, prayer walking the property, getting ready for that special day, prayer walking through the facilities, just really saturating that target date with prayer. And I'd do the same thing with my promotion. I would advertise with the unchurched in mind rather than just what people normally expect, the regular attenders would expect for Mother's Day. Advertise with the unchurched in mind. Let God prepare in my heart a message that would fit for Mother's Day but would also be intentionally evangelistic for the unchurched. They're going to be in attendance that day. And when I do my promotion and create the information I'm going to be presenting to the community, I do it in a way that takes the edge off of their fears. A lot of people may not be regular attenders in church, and around here we do what we call the prodigal approach. When the prodigal son returned home, the father welcomed him with open arms. And so we don't ever have anything in those special event services where people feel like, well, it's about time you showed up. We do everything we can, just like God is showing them, we are so glad that you're here.
Let me ask you this. What are some of the keys to getting more guests present? Obviously, on Mother's Day, Easter, or Graduation Sunday, those days, you don't have to do anything for more people to be there. It just lends itself to a higher attendance. But what do you do to ramp up and make sure even more guests are present? Or let's say, what do you do? How do you lead your congregation to get more guests there on those special Sundays?
Several weeks out from the event, we make sure that we provide evangelism training. We make sure that we encourage people as they're developing relationships, be mindful of the opportunities God gives them to invite someone to come to that worship experience. We encourage our small groups to make lists of people that they're going to target and intentionally invite, encourage to come and be a part of that event. We try and do it more relationally than we do, say, with radio spots or television ads or newspaper ads or even posters or however we might. We want to make sure that the people we're trying to reach have a personal touch with the church family as we invite them.
That's good. I know recently we had a special event at our church, and simply 4 weeks before, I had everybody write down the names of four people who did not go to church, who live in the community. Just get them thinking about it in advance, and then, of course, we walk them through week by week inviting those people as well as praying for those, and we were just packed out on that Sunday, and it was really neat to see the people respond and invite. But wouldn't you agree, somebody's got to lead the congregation to invite and remind them and challenge them and motivate them. Is that important for a pastor? Do you see that as one of his functions in equipping and motivating people to bring friends?
Absolutely. I like to share with the church family the opportunities God gives me, the intentional times where I seek out people and develop relationships, share with them, or people I just meet at Walmart or wherever I am. I like to share with the church family how I'm doing it. And the passion I have for it, because I just believe excitement, passion is contagious. And when they see that their pastor's doing it, that he's really enjoying it, and that God is blessing those opportunities, it just becomes great.
Randy, thanks. We'll come back next week. We'll continue to talk more about this, and I hope you have a blessed week, brother.
Thank you, Steve.
You've been listening to Steve Parr interview Randy Mullinax, pastor at First Southern Baptist Church, Tucson, Arizona. After the break, Steve, Mark Merritt, and I will come back and we'll continue to talk about how to make your top attended Sundays more evangelistic here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about
a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and I'm joined this week by my colleagues, Steve Parr and Mark Merritt. And we have been talking about making your top attended Sundays more evangelistic. And Steve, you've been interviewing Randy Mullinax, who pastors First Southern Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona. And in the last segment, we kind of laid out a five-point planning method for making these Sundays more evangelistic. I'll run over the plan quickly, and then we'll talk about each segment. First of all was prayer. Second of all was inviting people. Third was greeting the people when they got there. Fourth was your preaching plan, and fifth was your follow-up plan. Mark, when a pastor's looking out months and he sees that Easter Sunday, or he sees that Mother's Day, or whatever holiday it may be, or Sunday it may be, step number one is
It's prayer. We always have to begin with prayer, and that's not just a spiritual answer that we're supposed to say. Those of us that have served as pastor, we know that's the right answer. And that's the only way that we're going to actually have any authority in what we're doing and see any real results. Let me just say quickly three things we can do. Number one, we can call our church to public prayer. I still believe in altar prayer, public prayer, and I believe most people listening do as well. Number two, we can, in our small groups, Sunday school or our small open groups, we can begin to call people by name, call out and even have a list of those we're praying for by name. And when you pray for someone by name, usually you'll find that you develop a burden for that person as well. And then number three, we can prayer walk our community. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when we get beyond the church walls and we start seeing the homes and seeing the families that we're praying for, how God fosters that sense of burden and that sense of responsibility that we have to share the gospel with these people.
Yeah, I think it's great to put a map of your city out or your area out and just draw a line around it and walk those streets in prayer. Steve, I've been told we pray like it all depends on God and we work like it all depends on us. How does that factor into the inviting part of this strategy?
Well, Pastor, if you're the only one doing the inviting, hopefully you'll have a guest there, but you've got 30, 40, 60, 80, 200, 400 people in front of you. If they can be inviting, we need to multiply that. Three ways you could do it, I think of. One is by directly leading them. For example, I mentioned in the interview with Randy a while ago, take about five Sundays before, make sure everybody's got a card. Have them write down the names of four people. Just say, think about four people who don't go to church who live in our community. Put those in your Bible. Begin praying for those. And then the next few Sundays, say, continue to pray and remind them to invite them. So direct invitation. Second way to do it is through affinity. We mentioned, I know, one of our segments about Memorial Day or July the 4th, doing something patriotic, inviting our men and women of the armed forces. Memorial Day, those who have lost someone in years past. So think of affinity, something that relates to that holiday. Graduation, those who are graduating, and family members of those who are graduating, not just members of your church. How about graduates who don't go to church and their families?
Right.
And then thirdly, a challenge or a goal approach. And for example, I was in a church one time not long ago where we challenged the congregation to do 300% context, meaning, for example, if we had 100 people there, I challenged them to invite 300 people, three times the number of people present. I told you guys earlier off air, I'm doing something with the church where I'm serving as interim this summer called Beat the Heat, where I'm challenging them. It's a smaller congregation. If they invite more people than the high temperature the day before, we've got something very special for them the following Sunday.
Now, considering the fact that Randy Mullinax just told us it's 115 in Arizona, how does that play out in Georgia?
Well, Randy's got a larger congregation. Yeah, he should be able to do it. So this is a small congregation. So.
All right, we're praying, asking for God's blessings. We're inviting people. They will be there if we do those two things. And now we have to greet them. Mark, true or false, we should train our greeters to say to guests, "It's about time you showed up," when they walk in the door.
Only if you never want them to come back again. When it comes to greeting, again, I'll just give you some quick things. Number one, you need to have people not just in the church, and that's important to have people in the foyer, not just ushers, but greeters. But even more than that, it's important to have people on the front steps, or even better than that, out in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Whether it's raining or not, have greeters in the parking lot that are ready to assist and greet people and to show them a cheerful, friendly face that genuinely, it's genuinely glad to see them there. I love what Randy said about giving them the prodigal son type of welcome when they come to church. So greeters in the parking lot, greeters in the foyer, greeters on the front steps. We also have to have greeters in our small groups. We don't need to overlook that. Mm-hmm. When someone comes to Sunday school, maybe it's for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it's important that they feel welcome. It's important that no one says, "That's my seat." Let me say that again. It's important that no one says, "That's my seat.
You have to move now."
But we don't need to overlook the greeters in the small groups. And I always would tell my people, don't tell someone how to get to the nursery or the restroom or the small group or the sanctuary. Take them.
That's good.
Don't tell them. Take them. And then finally, everyone is a greeter. When it comes to greeting, yes, we have official greeters, and yes, we have small group greeters, but everyone is a greeter. Everyone sticks out their hand and says to the unchurched person who's visiting, "Hi, my name is whatever." And I always say again, you're not going to remember, the person is not going to remember everybody's name, but they will remember the experience. They'll remember that church where everyone came up to them and everyone stuck out their hand and everyone greeted them. And let me say this, staff, you too. Pastors, you too.
That's
right. Get out in the congregation, mingle with the people, introduce them, and greet them.
That is the day to have all hands on deck and make sure that every staff member, deacons, if you can get them there,
right,
so we're all up walking the service, welcoming those guests. Well, we got to three of the 5 points. We'll carry over into the next week, and we'll finish that plan up and talk about preaching plan and follow-up plan and then add some other things in as well. Thank you for listening to Network. Be sure and check out our 24/7 equipping site, evangelismga.com. There you'll find a host of resources. Well, until next time, I'm your host here on Network, Joel Sutherland.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.